Join Pastor George Izunwa on a journey of genuine God encounters through the Word of God. Through the teachings of Pastor George Izunwa, you will gain knowledge on how to triumph over challenges and transform them into testimonies. For more information and testimonies, contact us at 0702-5000-950 or 0702-5000-951. Experience the power of God's Word. Jesus exceeds expectations.
I'll be talking with you on never enter this bus. As you are traveling, you prepare for the journey. You pack your luggage. When you get to the park, there's a bus you must not enter. Please, there are some buses not to enter. There are things not to do on your way to destiny. You don't do them. Please, on your way to destiny, don't do them. Don't go that way. That's not God's way to you. For a Christian, the end does not justify the means. So it's not a do or die affair. I must get it at all costs. No. The end does not justify the means for a Christian. And sometimes people are climbing the ladder of success only to get to the top and discover that their ladder was leaning against the wrong building. Don't climb up and find out that what you got to was not success. Because you can get what you want and not like what you get. A girl can fight and knock her head on the ground to marry a man only to enter that home and discover it was the wrong man. A man can use all kinds of tricks and scheming to marry a woman only to get to the home and find that it's the wrong woman. Don't do a do or die affair. There are some things you must not do. And please listen to me. This life will end one day. And when the day you die comes, Jesus will either tell you, well done, or tell you, well, are you done? If you took the wrong journey, he will ask you, are you done? Have you finished messing up? Okay, you're higher now. What did you achieve? So it's important to know you can have it the right way. There's a bus I don't want you to take. 2 Samuel chapter 15. After this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now, Absalom will rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was, whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, that Absalom will call to him and say, what city are you from? And he will say, your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel. Then Absalom will say to him, look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you. Moreover, Absalom will say, oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause will come to me, and I will give him justice. Whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, look at his hypocrisy, that he will put out his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So, Absalom stole the heart of the men of Israel. Look at verse 7. Now it came to pass, after 4 years, that Absalom said to the king, please, let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord. He's talking like a holy man. For your servant took a vow while I dwelt in Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, that I will serve the Lord. And the king said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men, invited from where? From the king's house, from Jerusalem. And they went along innocently. They did not know he was planning a coup and did not know anything. Then Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gileonite, David's counselor, from his city, from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. That was Absalom conspiring against David in order to be great. Lift up your right hand and say, My father. In the name of Jesus, I know you have a place of greatness for my life. I will not destroy another person to rise. I will not do it in an evil manner. I will follow you. You will raise me. You will make me. You will enthrone me. If you are saying that loud, shout amen. I'm going to just give you 6 sins of Absalom. But before I do that, let me tell you about Absalom. Absalom was a son of David. I'm sure you know that. The father loved him so much. He was the most handsome guy in Israel. The father raised him. The father trusted him. And then Absalom made up his mind, I'm going to take over the government, even if it costs my father's life. And he did that. He wanted to be somebody, but he wouldn't wait for God to make him. Now, while I'm talking to you, there are people that are serving people. The man puts you in a shop. What do? You keep stealing his money and banking somewhere. You want to survive, even if he kills your boss. Don't try it. You are in church, an assistant pastor. You are building a clique because you want to start a church. Don't try it. That's not God sending you. You are here, and you are working in a company, and you are cornering everything because you can. Please, calm down. Jehovah wants to raise you, but there's a way not to go. Am I talking to somebody here? Your friend is engaged, and now you corner the man from her. Please stop. That's not the way to go. A man is married with children, and you want to take the man away from the wife. Please stop. That's not the way to go. Am I talking to anybody here today? I want you to be great, but I want you to be great God's way. So Absalom did everything he could. But you know the end of the story. He made himself king. People followed him more than even people that were with David. But he died a useless death. He died hanging between the earth and heaven. His beauty could not save him. The people with him could not save him. His knowledge could not save him. Why? Because God was not with him. Don't enter the wrong boss. Nigeria is eat and kill him, bury him, eat him if necessary. Don't go that way. Success will meet you without blood in your hands. Oh, they are lift up your right hand and say, My father, you can make a man. Make me. Now let me give you 6 things of Absalom in a few minutes. The first one is bitterness and unforgiveness. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, let's start from the beginning. Absalom had a half-brother. They call him Amnon. Amnon raped Tamar, Absalom's sister, and Absalom got annoyed, invited Amnon to come, pretended to have forgiven him, and then asked that the moment he is drinking and is forgetting himself, he should be struck down. Of course, what happened? Amnon was killed. When Absalom killed Amnon, David was angry, so David pursued him. He ran away, and then he stayed in a city for a long time. But Absalom never forgave his father David because he felt like his father did not treat things well. And he kept that bitterness in his heart for many years. Can I tell you something? Bitterness and unforgiveness will kill you. Don't let it stay. Anytime Satan wants to set you up, he begins to find reasons for you to hurt somebody. In your office, he begins to give you reasons to be aggressive against your boss. Now you start talking about him. Now you start doing things against him. Why? Because the devil is working in your mind to use you to hurt the ministry, hurt the career, hurt the job. And then you start writing petition. And they begin to have imagined and unimagined atrocities he has done against you. Forget whatever is done and settle down. He said, don't let the sun go down on your rod. I don't know what that girl did for you, but don't go call the young man that wants to marry her and start telling him stories about her. Let her enjoy her home so that in your own day you can enjoy your home. Don't get involved. I don't care what the man did in the office. Don't write petition to take him away. If they take him away, in the day they put you there, somebody will start writing. Calm down first. Calm down. It's not a do or die battle. If you don't take that office, God will create higher than that for you. You are Oga the same thing. And he's not feeding me well. He doesn't care for my family. So he begins to develop a lot of excuses that will justify stealing. There is no excuse that justifies stealing. Stealing is stealing. And the curse of God rests in the house of the thief. Let me go to a second point. Blind ambition. That's a second problem of Absalom. Ambition blinded him. He was scheming to become somebody at all cost. Listen to me. If you didn't get the process right, you can't get the product right. So don't try to get it at all cost. Get it at God's way. Absalom has been used to having his way. You know, when David pursued him away and he was outside, he complained and quarreled. So David said, come back, but you're not going to see my face. So he came into Jerusalem and they kept him in the house. And the king would not invite him into dinner and chamber with him. One day he got annoyed. He wanted Joab to go and talk to David. Joab was not talking to David. You know what Absalom did? Absalom went to the farm of Joab and set the whole farm on fire. When the farm was burning, they were asking, who set the property on fire? They say, it's Absalom. When he went to see Absalom, he said, why did you set my property on fire? He said, you've been there. I've been trying to reach the king. And you're not allowing me to reach the king. I said, complain. Joab said, but I've tried. He's used to scheming and manipulating to have his way. That's his nature. And look at what he did about his father. When people are coming for the father to judge a case for them, or they have an issue, he will grab the person. He say, ah, you are welcome. What is your case? The man will tell his case. He say, you are right. The other person have not said his case. Absalom have given judgment. You are right. The next person arrives again. He say, what is your name? The man says, which tribe are you? He tells him. He told this man, you are right. He told this man also, you are right. He told him, he said, if I were the judge in this land, I am telling you, I will give people justice. Now, this man goes to the chamber. Absalom told me I'm right. This one goes. Absalom told me I'm right. Anyone that David judges the case and says he's wrong has become an enemy. Because the son in front told both of them they were right. The Bible says when people want to bow to him as a prince, he will grab them and say, no, don't bow. And will kiss the person. He said, I wish I were a judge in this land. Everybody will enjoy me. He was scheming to be great. Mr. Nice, just everything is okay. But you have an aim. Lift up your hand. The Lord give you the wisdom. Amen. Every spirit of Absalom, I break it today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the third sin of Absalom? Lack of family loyalty. Lack of loyalty. The king is your father. The progress of the king is your progress. Is that true? Absalom doesn't care. Do you know there's some men, when they start rising, their wives are no longer important. I said, it's only women who don't have a job that I know insist on having joint account with their husband. I have never known any woman since I started pastoring that started making more money than the husband that insists on having joint account. I've not seen one. Most of them will not show you their account. We never allow you to know what they are earning. They say, my husband, we must have joint account. The day she earns 1,000 naira, joint account is over. She opens her own somewhere. There are people, their brothers worked very hard to raise them. Your senior brother sacrificed going to school to make sure you went to school. Now you are in school. His children, you can't even train one. You insult him. Don't enter that bus. Don't enter that bus. You don't care. You don't give. No attention. No. Don't enter that bus. Don't break your relationship in home and marriage just because you got a position in government. Positions come and go. Any success that will wreck your marriage is a bad success. Don't go that way. The same thing in church. I was telling somebody some time ago. I said, this person criticizing me, I ordained him a pastor. I said, if I am wrong, then his root is wrong. I said, I poured oil on him to ordain him a pastor. If I am wrong, his foundation is wrong. Because he wasn't a pastor before he saw me. If I am wrong, his root is wrong. And you can't go higher than your root. Your foundation will determine the height you build. How can you look at your father and curse him?
I'm not just talking about church. The man that you came to serve in business. In those days, even if the man you serve does not have money to give you, they open your hand, they spit into your hand and say, go well, and you always go well. Come on, what I'm saying, is that true? Where is loyalty? Where is family loyalty? Your brother will send money to you to build house, you eat the money. There's no trust. Where is the loyalty? Where's the family loyalty? Nothing. Oh, it's my friend, it's my friend, it's my friend. Then when you turn your back, you're no longer friend. When they are outside, the way they deny you, nobody will know they ate with you. It's time for us to change. There is a future. I'm preaching to you now, and I'm setting a pattern for you to rise. It's your oga in the political party, and then you go behind him, stab him at the back to gain favor, so you can take his position. Listen, let him serve his position. Your position will come. Settle down. God can raise you. Please keep your family loyalty. And let me even drag it further. Keep loyalty with your friends. That God is promoting you does not mean the people that were there with you in the suffering have become useless. A person that forgets his background has no future. Can you forget? Please, I beg you, keep that loyalty. You look at a woman you started life in one room with. Some of you slept on the floor. Now she has 5 children. Her body has changed. And now you have a good job. She has become an old rag. God will judge you. He will judge you. Don't live like that. Don't enter that box. Family loyalty. Loyal even to your parents. I tell people, listen, that somebody married you as a girl does not mean his mother now is a witch. Your husband cannot talk to the mother, cannot talk to the father, because you went and employed a stupid prophet that told you your husband's mother is a witch. So he can't send money to the village. He can't do anything. And if he travels to the village, there'll be quarrel in the house, because his mother is, if the mother was a witch, you have eaten him before you met him. Family loyalty. The fourth thing. The fourth sin of Absalom. Company of the corrupt. He was always keeping company with corrupt people. Proverbs 13 verse 20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. Please, I want you to listen to me. The people you move with matters in life. In the political party, please don't join that evil clique. They will beckon you, they will call you. They're looking for something you will say. Keep your mouth shut. In the church also, there are churches you go to, you see some cliques. Is that true? If you go to a choir, you may see a clique. Don't join. Absalom kept company with fools. One of the men he kept company with was a man who used to be very anointed. His name is Ahithophel. When Ahithophel was younger, the Bible said, when Ahithophel gives David counsel, David does not think twice about the counsel. You know why? He said the counsel of Ahithophel was like the voice of God. He was a man of wisdom. But he got corrupted by bitterness. I'm sure you know Ahithophel is the grandfather of Bathsheba. It's in the Bible. The father of Bathsheba is Elim, the son of Ahithophel. The Bible makes it clear Ahithophel, the counselor, is the one that is the grandfather of Bathsheba. The granddaughter married a man and David killed that man. And Ahithophel could not forgive him. So that began to corrupt his relationship with David. He never could forgive him. Never could forgive him. So he joined. Then Joab also, David rebuked him. He joined. Other people began to gather around Absalom. You know why? Absalom was charismatic. He was handsome. The Bible says he was a man that was more beautiful than women. The most handsome man in Israel. The Bible says his hair went down his body like the hair of a woman. He appears in Israel, tall, handsome guy. Every girl wanted Absalom to be the husband. But that was a problem. And he could speak well. He could scheme well. And the people came. And he had a lot of people around him, but not the right people. People like to join something that looks like it's happening. But after some time, something that is happening may not be happening again.
You know, listen, in life, there's one major test. Anything that's a true vision, time will tell it. It's not the moment we tell, time. Give it 10 years, give it 20 years. If it's a true vision, time will tell. So they joined. And Absalom took control. And they were counseling him. They were counseling him. Who is the person speaking into your life? Who are you telling about your marriage? Who are you telling about your career? Who is the biggest influence over your decisions? That person is the control in your destiny. Be careful. Be careful, because decisions determine destiny. Who is your counselor? Are you sitting in the seat of the scornful? Are you standing in the way of sinners? Who are the people that sit down with you and talk? Can I tell you one of the things that is the worst issue about all that I'm talking about here? Most of it starts slowly. You don't know when you are missing the road. It is going. The next time is gone. Be careful who you bring into the inner circle of your life. There are some people you can relate with at arm's length that shouldn't be your friends. The fifth problem with Absalom is absence of a moral compass. Absalom did not know what he believed and what he didn't believe. He had no moral foundation. My God, can you imagine Ahithophel giving him a counsel? He said, get all your father's concubines. All these women your father married, the ones he didn't marry, gather them, climb on top of the roof, put a tent on top of the roof, and sleep with all of them in the presence of all Israel. Even if Absalom is stupid, can't he think? He said, go, stand there, sleep with all of them in the presence of all Israel. And the man that wanted to be king climbed up on the top of the building and was sleeping one by one with all the women. And Israel was watching. Even if Satan entered him, doesn't he have brain? Absence of moral compass. Do you know that ambition can make you forget right and wrong? Is anybody hearing me here? Desire for money, desire for position. What you vowed you will never do, you begin to do it. I want you to succeed, but not at the cost of your soul. Absence of a moral compass. Finally, celebration of vanity. He celebrated vanity, and it was vanity that killed him. If there was no vanity in his life, a man does not keep hair like Absalom keeps hair. He was on his horse, riding. The hair was flying in the wind, and the tree grabbed the hair and hung him. If he didn't have a long hair, he would have lived longer. Why do you celebrate vanity? How many rings do you have? How many clothes do you have? How many shoes do you have? How many houses do you have? How are you spending your money? What is the primary concern of your heart? What is the motivation that drives your destiny? Things or eternity? Celebration of vanity! Listen, where is God in your expenditure? How much goes to God and his kingdom? How much goes to things? And things and more things. When you die, it's not things, it's about eternity. Celebration of vanity. People that will not give 1 hour in prayer to prepare for Sunday morning will give 8 hours to make their hair. Vanity, vanity. Somebody will not pay tithe, but look at what you are buying. Give God 10,000, no. You will go and buy things that don't matter for 50,000. Your father can be dying and all he needs is 10,000. But you want to buy a ring of 50. Your neighbor's children cannot pay school fees. And yet, it doesn't matter to you. What matters to you is the new thing you have. Things, things, things. Get all the things. When you die, they put you in a tin. I want you to succeed, but don't take that bus. There's a boss not to take. I don't want to be a big pastor in Nigeria. I want to be God's servant. I don't care what God does in my life. I want to still come to church and be Pastor George. And still pastor God's people. Don't let the devil steal you. It's too early to die. Let God help us. Keep your focus. Don't enter that boss.
In today's fast-paced world, we all need contacts and mentors on social media for inspiration, motivation, and more. You can connect with Pastor George Izunwa on all his social media handles. Follow him on Facebook at Pastor George Izunwa, Instagram and Twitter at George Izunwa. Connect and let's take the journey of greatness together.